Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Let's begin today with a question. Are you presently battling anxiety, feeling overwhelmed, or routinely stressed out? It doesn't matter what triggers it. Maybe an upcoming job interview, pressure at work, rocky relationships, worry over an upcoming surgery. Be it anxiety, overwhelmed, or stress, the underlying emotion we are feeling is fear. Our minds and bodies are racing. We can't think clearly. We can't relate to others. And outside factors seem to be managing us. But here's some good news. Esteemed author and workshop leader Jude Bijou offers 7 simple solutions to overcome fear. And here they are. 1. Let the fear energy out of your body. It's perfectly natural to tremble, shudder, quiver, and shake. Dogs do it, and so go ahead and do so yourself. And 2, quit your thinking, or change your thinking, not quit, just change it. Interrupt thoughts that convince you that this will never end and replace with positive phrases like, this feeling is temporary and it will pass. 3, one thing at a time. Make a list of projects and issues to address, and then prioritize them and attack one project at a time. You can't accomplish everything in the same day. 4, prepare a detailed task list. When broken down into small, doable pieces, your challenges don't look so insurmountable. 5, don't go it alone. Don't play the martyr. Ask friends, family members, and coworkers to help. 6, be gentle with yourself. Interrupt all those self-critical thoughts and lavish yourself with appreciation. And 7, get into the now. Take a short break and ease into the challenge at hand. Close your eyes and take some deep breaths. Walk around the block, whatever works for you. Practice any one of these 7 strategies and your tension will ease. Do several or all and you'll find yourself calmer, more content, and better able to gain the upper hand. And a ton of additional suggestions on removing fear and taking control of your life can be found in Jude Bijou's book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint for Building a Better Life, and preview it at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or Jude's website, AttitudeReconstruction.com. In fact, at Jude's website, you can learn something about every imaginable topic, or you can sign up for Jude's newsletter. And by the way, at Amazon, her book is available both in paperback and electronic download. Once again, Jude's website is attitudereconstruction.com, and that's also the name of her book, Attitude Reconstruction. Well, as a veteran of life's challenges, a midlife veteran, the challenges and disappointments, are you ready to walk off your war? We've all had our share of war in effect, crises, worries, fear, and frustrations in our careers, relationships, parenting, finances, and things haven't always worked out for the best. And wouldn't it be great if we could all get away completely on an extended trek, like the Appalachian Trail, for instance, to answer all the difficult questions like, what was I really placed on this planet to accomplish? How can I manage fear and step out of my comfort zone to attempt something new and different? And how best can I serve others while enjoying the rest of my time on Earth, regardless of what life throws at me? And wouldn't it also be great if we could take time out from each little daily crisis we have to contemplate our options rather than just panicking and worrying about how to respond and freezing up and getting all upset? Well, are you convinced that if you could just get away for a bit from the pressures of your job, family responsibilities, and all the distractions of daily living, you would find answers? Well, unfortunately, most of us don't have the time or the resources to go on an extended personal journey of discovery, so we simply trudge along at half speed, feeling like we're not really accomplishing all that we should be. and almost everyone at one point or another searches for answers to life's deeper questions, but how many of us find the answers? The problem is most of us don't really have a trail to follow, so we stumble around in a forest of uncertainty. But my guest today, Angelus, assures us that there is a trail that you can walk anywhere, anytime, with anyone. And she's created it and named it the Grace Trail, and she's here to discuss that trail today. And Angelus is an award-winning life coach, author, motivational speaker, trainer, and workshop leader. And as a life coach, she helps women and men explore and realize their full potential as individuals, team members, or as leaders. And she's author of the 2014 book, Find Your Footing, 5 Steps to Pick Yourself Up, Dust Yourself Off, and Move Toward the Life You Were Meant to Have. Hello, Ann, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, Roy. How are you?
Well, when was the Grace Trail idea born, and what inspired you to create it?
Okay. First of all, I'd just like to thank you for that wonderful introduction. You sure, certainly did your homework. I loved listening to that, so thank you. Really wonderful preparation.
No problem.
I don't know. I just thought that was lovely. So thank you, Roy. About two and a half years ago, my son was in Afghanistan, and I was a mother at home, trying to deal with all my fears. And, you know, I found myself waking in the middle of the night in a panic. I found it difficult to concentrate. It was just a very hard time, as you can imagine, having someone in the middle of a war getting shot at every day.
It's especially difficult when you're worried sick over something that you have no control over, like your son's safety.
That's exactly right. And so during that time, I read an article, and the article was about the Appalachian Mountain Trail. And you know that runs from Georgia up to Maine, so it takes about 3 months and a lot of preparation. And there's a town up in Maine that supports the hikers, and the trail goes right through it. And so the journalist was up there, and he was asking questions and said, "Who's hiking the trail?" And the answer to that question was, "It's a whole lot of vets walking off their war." And I loved that. I said, "Oh my God, where can I go to walk off my war? I can't get out to the California Pacific Trail like Reese Witherspoon in the movie Wild, and I can't get to the Appalachian Mountain Trail. I need something really close by, really quick that I can access." And that's when I created a trail in my hometown. It all stems from about probably 10 to 15 years ago when how I named it the Grace Trail. That's what I'm going to sort of tell you right now. How did I come up with the Grace Trail? Right. So about 10 or 15 years ago, between 10 and 15 years ago, I ran into a really hard time with my family. I had both of my parents passing away at the same time. I had 5 siblings, and on most days, there were not enough of us to do what had to be done. And I also had 2 very creative and challenging teens. You know what that means, right, Roy?
Yes, I do. We had similar.
So, yes. I had 2 creative and challenging teens. And I was changing my career at that time to become a professional life coach. So I've been coaching for 15 years. So all of this was happening at the same time. And I almost felt stunned. I just wasn't functioning. You know, I say that I feel like I lost my balance in life, my breath, and I lost the bounce in my step. And, you know, I was sort of looking, how do I find my footing? How do I get back in the game? And I kept saying to myself, I need to step into a state of grace.
Yeah.
I don't even think I knew what I meant by that, Roy, but I just said I was looking for the eye of the storm. There's got to be a better place than where I am now. There's just got to be. I felt like it was nearby, but I couldn't find my way there.
The only problem with the eye of the storm is the second half of the storm.
That's exactly right.
So you need more than just
exactly
an eye.
Right. But it had to be better than being out in the storm. You know, it had to be. So you're right, though. So, and that's a great metaphor for resiliency, Roy. I love that because, you know, even when we make our way to the eye of the storm is still swirling around. So how do we live amidst the chaos. So that's a great metaphor.
Well, I noticed that each letter in grace stands for something. Why don't you go through that?
Well, that's when I saw the five words in the word grace. I saw G for gratitude, R for release, A for acceptance, C for challenge, and E for embrace. And I started asking the five questions that flowed from those words. So I'd say something like, oh, my God, even though life is really tough right now, what am I grateful for? And I found that no matter how bad my life was, I always could find something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And then I'd ask the next question, which is R, what do I need to release? What can I let go of? Because as you said on the beginning of the call, we can't afford to focus on what's out of our control. We have to really figure out what's in our control, what's out of our control, and get focusing on what's in our control really fast.
Yes, and especially in the case of your son, it was obviously out of your control, and there's nothing to worry he's going to do about that. So you could take control, obviously, of the people around you and the challenges around you right at the moment.
Right, exactly. And so I'd ask and I'd answer that question to myself. And then the A is, what do I need to accept in my life? And, you know, that was an obvious one. You know, he's in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I can't help him. I can only help myself. So there's a whole acceptance question, which is not always easy to figure out what you need to accept.
That's such a crucial question because so many people keep saying, why me, or why did I get stuck with this situation?
Right.
If you don't accept it, what you're faced with, you're never going to deal with reality and move on to make things as well as they can be. But
And what's interesting about acceptance is acceptance breeds choices. Because acceptance is really saying to yourself, I entertain the thought that everything is unfolding exactly as it's meant to unfold.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true acceptance. And that's not easy. Sometimes that's a bitter pill.
Acceptance doesn't mean you have to like what's happening.
You got it, Roy.
It's a fact. Everyone in the world is not going to think the way you or I think.
That's right. That's exactly right. You don't have to like it. You just have to see it and hear it clearly. That's acceptance. And from there, you can make choices. It doesn't mean you have to be a victim. It's not like accept it, honey. It's like, what's truly transpiring right in front of you? I mean, let's take a real look at it, you know?
Yeah.
So the next letter was C, and I would ask myself, okay, now what's my challenge? What is my challenge? And sometimes it was something like, you know, let's just get up and get one thing done. And other times my head felt clear enough that I had bigger challenges in mind.
Sometimes your challenge is just get up out of bed and do something.
That's exactly right. Some
mornings.
That's exactly right. You know, you hate to admit that, but some days things are just really heavy. That is a challenge. And I know people who, you know, every day it's a challenge to put your feet on the floor. And I can relate to being in that place. You know, I don't relate out of judgment. You know, like they should do better. That's just where they are right now.
And when you recognize where you are and what your immediate challenge is, then you can start addressing that challenge. But
right.
if you just sit back there and worry about things in general and don't realize what your immediate challenge is, you're just, I guess, going to lie in bed and worry.
That makes no sense. And then after you answer those first four questions, the last question is E for embrace.
Yeah.
What can I embrace as possible in my life?
Yeah.
And that's the step of hope. When we can embrace possibility and look to a future that's better than where we are now.
Yeah.
That's the step for hope. And so I started asking those five questions and answering them. And on a really bad day, I'd call my husband and say, look, can you just listen to me ask and answer these questions really fast? Oh. And I'd take 2 minutes. And he's a really busy pediatrician, and he never said no. He always said sure, always listened while I did that. And so one night he came home from work, and he said, let's just go do grace together. And so we started walking around the block every night for the entire summer after work, and we'd ask those five questions of each other, And we listen to each other's answers.
Yeah,
and
I was going to ask whether you can do that with other people, so it definitely works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can do it alone. You can do it with others. I mean, I've done it with 200 people, you know.
Oh,
so, you know, I put them into groups and I put them into circles, and I have this whole way of getting people to really get up and ask the five questions, you know, and be heard and then listen to other people. It's quite a wonderful experience. But so he and I started walking it and talking it and asking those questions, and we discovered that, number one, that was the first time anyone had really listened to us all day, and that we felt better every time we did it. And it's wonderful because I just got a phone call from a woman who said very similar thing, that she and her husband were not talking and were not communicating very well, and she learned about the Grace Trail process and the five questions, and she and her husband made a commitment every night this summer to walk around the block, walk their dog, and ask those five questions. And she's found it's changed their communication and it's changed their relationship.
Yeah, that's such a great idea, like with a strained relationship for a husband and wife that, you know, have their different interests and maybe their different challenges and aren't really communicating to start with that grace walk together with. Maybe the dog had some answers.
Well, you know, my dog sure does. I don't know if you've been on his website and seen my dog, Willie, but he's sort of my spiritual guide. He's unbelievable, a little five-pound Yorkie who thinks he knows everything, you know?
I'm a strong component of taking a walk to when I'm overcome with worry or stuck with a problem, but your one-mile grace walk is unique because you have five stones placed along the trail, and
That
work?
That's right. So what I did was I started thinking about, where can I go? Where can I go and walk off my wars? And there's a trail near my house that every time I walk it, I'm filled with awe. I can't believe how beautiful it is. I'm out in nature. There are other people walking it.
That's
and
great.
I said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if I took rocks right off the beach, because it runs near the beach.
Yeah.
I'm in the harbor in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
And wouldn't it be nice to take, I took some large beach rocks and I painted the letter G on it and I wrote gratitude and Grace Trail, put that on the trail. And so when people see that rock, they say to themselves, what am I grateful for, as they walk along the trail? They ask the question and answer it. And then they walk up to the R rock, and that's for release. And I have them walk down to a little rocky beach where they can throw rocks in the water as they're thinking about all the things they want to release.
Yeah,
so they get to experience the energy of the question. And then the next letter would be to walk off the beach and you walk into this beautiful field. And I call it the field of loving awareness. And I've started to walk groups on the Grace Trail, retreats with businesses, and I ask them to just be quiet in the field and ask what's calling out for acceptance in their life. And it's quite powerful to be in the middle of a really large field with the wildflowers and the birds and really experience quiet, because you can start to hear your own answers when you're quiet. It's a very, very different energy to that question. And from there, we walk up onto a road with a gentle downhill as you ask the question, what's my challenge?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're sort of marching down the hill because it's, you know, a hill, but that's energy of challenge. Excuse me. And then we take a right turn at the big circle, and you can actually go on my website. When people sign up for my newsletter, they can give their name, their email, and for that, they'll actually get the actual Grace Trail map, the one that's in Plymouth. So they'll get the five questions, and I'm actually giving away my Walking Off Your War story for free. So
next time I go to Plymouth to see Plymouth Rock, I'll have to stop by your Grace Trail.
That's right. If you ever get to Plymouth, that's right. Well, what's interesting is, you know, I'm actually putting Plymouth Rock right on the trail. So, you know, there's a lot of nice imagery with that, being in Plymouth.
Yeah.
And so people are walking it all the time. And, you know, I had some funny stories in that people were stealing the rocks. These are not small rocks.
They're big rocks.
And so I decided to get little beach stones that you can put right in your hand, little smooth beach stones. I collect them, and I write the words, each of the five words on the stone, with gracetrail.com on the back. And I leave them out at the large beach rocks, and now people leave them. They just take the small stones. And, again, I've heard all kinds of wonderful stories and wonderful people connecting to this trail in a really wonderful way. And the large stones have now stopped disappearing because the small stones are there. So I give the map out in town at just different, I call them Grace Trail friendly businesses. You know, they're happy to display the map, and the map's at the beginning of the trail. But the nice thing is, Roy, you don't have to come to Plymouth to walk the Grace Trail.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Can you do that in your own yard or in a local park or
Anywhere. I have people who keep their little Grace Trail. I do sell Grace stones. But, you can buy them. They're all, I handwrite them, and they're varnished. And what they do is people hold the stone. So you hold a little G stone, a gratitude stone, as you ask the question. For some reason, I think there's a real comfort in stones. I've always enjoyed stones. And these are stones right off the beach. And people are taking these stones, and I have one person who wrote to me and says she leaves them on her windowsill in her kitchen. So when she's cooking dinner, she's actually walking the Grace Trail in her mind. She asked herself five questions.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, winter's coming on before long, and it might not be fun out there. But you can take then the virtual Grace Trail in your mind, I guess, if you train yourself to do that.
Yes. Yes, and I'm writing a book called Grace Trail, Find Your Footing, and Move Forwards to the Life You Were Meant to Live. And in that book, I have a map. It's called The Virtual Map. And it's just the five Grace Trail questions, and it starts with start wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. That's the first step. And you ask the question, what am I grateful for? And that's the beginning of the Grace Trail.
And when is that book not out yet, the one that you just mentioned at the
That one's not out yet. It's going to be out this fall.
Oh, I see.
So, and so if people sign up for my newsletter, they'll get the three gifts, they'll get the map, they'll get the story, and they'll get the questions. And then when the book comes out, I can tell them when the book is out and how they can get it.
Yeah, that's
so,
great.
So they can get that at gracetrail.com. And so anyway, I've lots of great stories about people who are finding that walking the Grace Trail, whether they come to Plymouth or they walk their own, is elevating their spirit. And they're finding they have a real connection back to themselves because it helps you to find your own wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, this world
do you find that people need to travel on the Grace Trail? Do we do it several times a day, once a week, once a month? I guess that depends on the individual, but do we need to take it every time when a new problem arises, or do you let the benefits, like, carry over from crisis to crisis, or how does that work?
Well, it's an interesting question. The more you ask this question, the easier the answers come. That's number one. The more you ask the question, this woman just said to me, she's walking it every night with her husband. She said, we've been doing it for months, and we don't ask the questions anymore because we just talk the answers.
Yeah.
She said, we just know the questions so well. Now we just talk it. So you
Yeah, it becomes kind of a habit of addressing problems, I guess.
Roy, and I think the nice thing is that we're always looking for our problems and our mistakes. And as you rewire your brain and you ask these questions, they redirect you to what's going right in your life. And they redirect you to what's true in your life, and they redirect you to make a plan, and then what's possible in the future. So it's really like, so I say life affirming. They're questions that help you to move your life forward.
Yeah.
And
Have you found, does the Grace Trail work in grieving and recovery from loss of a loved one, like, say, a spouse or a child or a parent?
Absolutely. I think that the Grace Trail meets you wherever you are. It has no judgments. It has no expectations. And I think that the level of grieving someone's at, I mean, there's a level of grieving that when people are in total shutdown and despair, I can't imagine, you know, maybe they can't muster the energy to ask the question, and that's just fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where they're supposed
everyone
to be.
Everyone goes through a period of grieving, but at some point,
yes,
you need to move forward, and because there's no point in spending the rest of your life grieving over what you lost. But I know
right.
my wife and I lost
yes.
our daughter, who was a pilot in the Navy, and then she was flying the silly banner over a San Diego Chargers football game and crashed her small plane back in the last day of 2006. And, you know, my wife and I grieved for a while, but you can't spend the rest of your life just thinking about that loss. And, you know, also
right.
we're confident that she's in a better place, and that's great. But this grace method, would have. I wish we'd known about that back when we lost our daughter, because that's a great way
yeah.
to, you know, accept. And,
I'm sorry, Roy. I'm very sorry to hear that.
You know, you're grateful for the years you had with the lost loved one, but then you accept it, and then you talk about current challenges and what you can embrace moving forward. All that seems
right.
like grace method would work excellently for that. But
it will. When someone's ready to embrace something and do that, it does work wonderfully at that time. I work a lot with cancer survivors, and we walk the grace trail together. People are telling me struggling with a partner who has Alzheimer's. You know, a woman wrote to me and she said, I've walked the trail before, but now the rocks are there. It gives me hope. I feel I can access hope on my walk now. And so, thanks for sharing about your daughter. It is a nice, having the five questions is a nice way and an easy way to access some different thoughts that can help you to move forward through some difficult times.
And can we use the grace trail to answer the big questions in life and like to wake up to life at middle age if we're frustrated with where we are to develop goals and change our attitude from negative to positive? Can you use that? We talked about specific challenges, but I guess you can also talk about some of the big issues or think about that on the grace trail as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there are people who have the stones in their cubicles at work. So it's not like crisis-oriented. It's like life-oriented.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our challenges throughout the day. And, you know, people just leave them there to remind them to ask, put your head up, pause, ask even one of the questions.
Yeah.
Sort of helps you just to pull your head out of the minute details of your life that are bogging you down. And it's an easy way to pause and get some clarity in the moment, to pause and reach out to someone. You know, I like to say to people, walk the grace trail by asking someone, what's going right in your life?
Yeah.
I mean, most of our conversations would start out with, what's the problem? And,
yeah,
you know, wouldn't it be nice if you
what's
start
going
off
right in
with,
your life to change that focus from the negative to the positive? That's a great, that gratitude part of it is a great start to the whole exercise.
Yes, it is a great start. And that's the first step on the grace trail. You know, you may only use one question in a day, and that's okay because you ask how often. It's as often as you want and need.
Yeah.
And my
yeah.
dream is that the doctors will say, hey, walk two grace trails and call me in the morning. You know?
You say you're writing this book that will be out in the fall, but you have a fascinating little motivational book out right now called Find Your Footing, 5 Steps to Pick Yourself Up, Dust Yourself Off, and Move Toward the Life You Were Meant to Have. And where can somebody go to preview that book or find out more about it?
Well, actually, that's right now. It's on Amazon, and it's an e-book, and I'm only selling it for 99 cents because
all proceeds... Yeah, I noticed it was not expensive.
Yeah. No, it's all the profits are going to the Wounded Warrior Foundation.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so I'd love people to sign up for that. But for a short time, I'm actually giving it away free because I want people's email list so when I get my book out, I can let them know. But the book is about, just to Find Your Footing book, is it's about a survivor who makes it through a tough time. So
oh,
it's it was initially about a veteran who came home from the war and ends up walking the Grace Trail back to Hope. And my son read it. My son's back. And my son read it, and he said, "Mom, veterans, you know, don't wiggle their toes in the sand." I said, "Oh, you might be right about that." So I changed the focus of the book to be a woman who makes it through. I never say what, because I want it to be really for any person who makes it through a hard time to walk the Grace Trail. So it's a short story about a story of hope, about someone who makes it through and basically lives to walk off her own wars every day. And that's what the story is about. So,
well, it's a short book,
I'd love
but it has very good, very strong reviews on Amazon, I noticed, and it's helped a lot of people, apparently. So,
people love it.
And that book, again, is Find Your Footing, and it's by Ann Jolis, and it's on Amazon, so you can find it there. I looked at it there, but... Well, from your website, I noticed you also have a website where you offer inspirational life coaching, and you do coaching over the Internet. I don't have to go to Plymouth, I guess, to retain you
as
a coach.
No, I actually, like I said, I've been coaching for 15 years, and I'm lucky enough to be doing something I love that's just getting better. And I coach people all over the world, and with Skype and by phone, and... I coach people to transform the way they live and the way they work.
Yeah, and I notice you offer a free complimentary coaching session. How does a listener sign up for that? Where are we going to do that?
They can go right to www.annjolis.com. And that's A-N-N-E-J-O-L-L-E-S, like as in Susan.
I noticed that site, and... You also you can sign up for your newsletter on that site as well, I guess.
And I'd love them to do that.
Or you can buy your own gray stones, like you said, you offer those.
That's right. And out in Iowa, people would might love some beach stones.
That's true.
It's really very comforting. And, they make nice gifts for someone who's struggling or whatever. They come beautifully packaged, and people find a lot of comfort from the gray stone. So,
well, in conclusion, so often at middle age or at any age, we feel like we're bogged down, routinely battling worry, fear, frustration, and negative emotions. We're like that old dog here in Iowa that's lying on a sharp nail on the farmer's porch, and we keep whining or wailing in discomfort, but we never take the initiative to get up and move off the nail. And I highly recommend that you go to Ann Jolis' website and preview her Grace Trail method and her little book, Find Your Footing. It's small, but it receives consistently favorable reviews. And just get up and try something different. And it may make a world of difference for the rest of your life. Because no one was created to spend a life in misery and in frustration and feel like they didn't accomplish what they were set on earth to accomplish. So I would certainly recommend the Grace Method as a start to a new outlook on life. And thank you so much, Ann Jolis, for joining us here today.
Thank you, Roy. It was a pleasure.
And maybe we can have you back when you have that new book out. We'd love to talk about that.
I love it. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, let us know when, your newsletter will let everyone know. But thank you so much for being
thank
with
you,
Middle
Roy.
Age Can Be Your Best Age. Earlier this summer, I talked to those of you dissatisfied with your current job or your career status about taking what I call a mental vacation to plan your next vocation, your productive career from here forward. Now, for some, it might just be an enhancement of your present job, or performing the same work but with a different employer or a different boss. But today I want to speak with those who consider transitioning to a whole new career or a vastly different, perhaps a new venture startup on your own, being your own boss. Presuming you've targeted a specific new vocation and are convinced that it's the right one for you, how are you going to transition from the present to the future? Well, here are a few suggestions. First, finances. Can you prepare a workable family transition budget? How soon can you afford to resign your current position? Once you quit, what lifestyle compromises is your family prepared to make? Can you live comfortably on spousal income plus any other sources of revenue you have? Will you need to tap into savings? Can you take out a second mortgage? Second, related economic issues. When you quit your job, where will you obtain health insurance for yourself and your family? How will you pay for your children's education? Must you sell your home? Those are all secondary economic issues. Third, the cost and availability of training. Can you obtain the technical and occupational skills you will need to pursue your targeted new vocation, perhaps through night school or home study? How long will it take? How will you pay for this training? Fourth, testing the waters. Can you launch your target vocation at night or on a weekends while retaining your present job? Will you encounter a potential conflict of interest in doing so? And do you have the stamina to perform two jobs at once? I know even looking for a new job while you hold an existing one is not easy. I've been there and done that. And fifth, demonstrating qualifications. How will you demonstrate necessary skills and talents to prospective employers, investors, or venture partners? Can you strengthen your resume through volunteer activities in a related field or perhaps in an industry association? And if you know, if you plan to resign from a prestigious position, you will need to prepare mentally and emotionally for a temporary loss of status and also for a clear-cut agenda that you're working on with your boss telling you what to do. For the immediate future, you will no longer play an essential role in the world of commerce. Former close friends and colleagues may tend to ignore you and forget about that corner office, that leased company car, an assigned parking space, maybe country club membership. Does this pending loss of status bother you? Well, I certainly hope not. You know, if you intend to buy a business, launch a startup, or undertake a radical career transition, you need to visualize in your mind continually throughout the day successfully pursuing that new vocation. In your mind, you will already prosper in your targeted career, a bright and shining outcome, enjoying life to the fullest while you earn a good living. And by visualizing success, you will prevent lapses into stress or depression caused by temporary setbacks, loss of certainty, a temporary reduction in discretionary income, and a lack of recognition. Before you pass the point of no return in launching your new career transition, I urge you to make yourself one final solemn pledge. I will not accept any new position or invest time and money in any business venture until I am 100% certain that this is how I want to spend my remaining productive years. Bottom line, the message is simple, the implementation not so simple. Do not rush into any job or new business venture simply out of frustration, fear of extended unemployment, or a vague, unsubstantiated yearning to try something new. Take a full 30 days, heck, take 90 days if you need to investigate all aspects of potential alternative vocations and lifestyles. Select the best one for you and your family. Map out an ambitious transition plan. Visualize yourself on the job. Then start thinking and behaving like a successful incumbent. If possible, make every tough transition financing decision up front. In effect, you'll be buying time for an extended job search or new venture launch the right way without panic. And you certainly don't want to be panicking to find a job before you lose the house and that kind of stuff. You just don't need that. By scripting out a comprehensive transition scenario in advance, you'll be able to launch transition with ample confidence that you've made the right decision and that you can and will stay the course. But always remember, transition often takes a lot longer than what we expect. So plan for an extended period of how you can buy that time to do the transition the right way. You know, to learn a whole lot more about successful midlife career transition, may I suggest you preview my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. That's me. We have an entire chapter in there on mental vacations and effective career transition, and heck, a whole lot more. And you can preview and buy my book at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or through our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And that's our program for today. I hope you've had a great summer. Now go out and have yourself a great mental vacation, followed by a wonderful fall. And talk to you again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com.